Hey everybody, I'm Nobody, the man without friends, and welcome to the July 21st edition of the Nobody Show, your unabashed voice of the left and left out, beaming the gospel of steely-eyed compassion from my station to my nation and out, beyond the edge of darkness to the dawn of hope. This is a special edition of the Nobody Show, a special national broadcast on the crisis at Pacifica Radio. This broadcast, many of you will be hearing, preempting your regular programming. My thanks to all of the stations that are airing it and to the programmers who gave up their time for this very important issue. I realize that most of you probably listening out there don't know me. I hope I'll get to know you sometime. This isn't the time. Suffice it to say that I am an independent broadcaster. I am my home base is WEOS, a Pacifica affiliate in Geneva, New York. And when I started getting a lot of emails from people saying, help, help, can everybody who can do something, do something, it was my decision to try and put this show up on the satellite so that we can get some information out to people. I can guarantee you right now that this broadcast is not going to satisfy everyone. It fell together. We couldn't get a lot of people. We have a lot of people on. We're going to do our best to convey information, all the information we can and the points of view, but some things just won't get in, and we're going to do the best we can. I realize that there are listeners out there who don't even know what Pacifica Radio is, and on the other extreme, there are plenty of activists listening tonight who have been intimately involved with this issue for years, and we're going to try and get the basic information out to the people who don't know what's going on and get the most detailed information out to the people who've been very much following this for a long time. But there is one thing I do have to tell you. This broadcast may wind up a little bit one-sided in the sense that the position of Pacifica management may not be represented. I have been trying up until 20 minutes before the broadcast to get a representative of Pacifica management on this show, and I've even left the door open for them to call in during the broadcast. I have left messages all over the place, sent emails. I left 3 messages for the publicity director of Pacifica Radio to get back to me, even just to send me copies of their press releases so I'd have the latest information on their corporate position. And as I said to someone in the control room, are there 30 other national broadcasts about this tonight, that this was such a low priority they could not even call me back? So this is something that does bother me. I can't even imagine being in the circumstance where I'm in the midst of a controversy where I won't even notify people of what my position is. And it is the kind of thing that has to make you wonder. Nonetheless, this broadcast is dedicated to peace. Sometimes peace in a conflict is not possible. That is a human tragedy. But this is not a broadcast for ugly words and just endless streams of attacks on people. We're going to try and put these issues out in a forthright manner and hope that there'll be some positive response from the management side, hope that this is going to pave the way for something good, and if there cannot be a peaceful resolution or some kind of a mutual resolution of this, well, at least, as it says in the Declaration of Independence, when in the course of a human events and all of that, the case will have been put before the public and the public will know what's going on. This is a call-in show. The call-in number is 800-213-WEOS. That's 800-213-WEOS, but I'm not going to be taking calls during the first 15 or 20 minutes so we can get some basic information out. Those of you who are following this or are very interested in this issue, might I suggest that you get out paper and pencil, because during the broadcast, numbers will be given out, websites will be given out, and if you want further information, please be prepared to jot that down. Okay, I have 3 very distinguished guests on the line. Peter Frank, was a commentator on KPFA radio in Berkeley during the 1960s. He became a member of the Pacifica board in 1973 and the president of Pacifica Radio from 1980 to 84. In fact, he was the last president of Pacifica Radio because they changed the system, which is partly what's led to the current crisis. Norman Solomon is a syndicated columnist and author of many books on media. His latest is Habits of a Highly Deceptive Media. And Dennis Bernstein is a nationally recognized investigative journalist. He was removed from the KPF studio by armed guards and, as I understand it, taken away in handcuffs, part of what's sparking the current crisis. And Dennis Bernstein has been quoted as saying, "I am proud to go to jail as part of an institution founded 50 years ago by people who had the courage to go to jail for their convictions." Gentlemen, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Thank you, Nobody.
Peter, Frank, what is Pacifica? Plenty of people don't even know that, so can you fill them in?
Nobody. Pacifica is a network of five of the oldest and largest listener-supported non-commercial stations in the United States. It was founded 50 years ago by pacifists, that's hence its name, Pacifica, people who were concerned with the danger of the gathering Cold War at the time and found that they couldn't talk about that danger of Cold War on the commercial stations in existence at the time. And then it grew in the 1960s. It's a free speech outlet. It grew, it became a network with the second station coming online in Los Angeles, started by people around the ACLU who were very concerned about the McCarthyism, the Red Scare of the time, and found that they had no freedom of speech to fight McCarthyism in the media. Now it also has a station in Houston, Texas, which was bombed off the air twice by the Klan in the 60s. We now know with FBI help. The WBAI in New York, and the most recent station, about 20 years old, is WPFW in Washington, plus dozens or maybe hundreds of affiliates that take its programs around the country.
Now,
it's a jewel.
Norman Solomon, somebody might easily argue that we are, unlike when these stations were founded, even the most recent one 20 years ago, we've seen such an explosion of media so what if there's some kind of a changeover at Pacifica? Pacifica is just one tiny little voice in a media mix which is more extensive than anything anyone could have imagined. What difference does Pacifica make to us?
Well, people might ask, if they turn the dial for AM and FM radio, how often they can find any station airing the views of those who are locked out of mainstream media, who have a critique of militarism, a critique of racism, a willingness to challenge corporate power in all of its many manifestations. The five Pacifica-owned stations in this country have been very important in carrying the light high, holding that lantern high to raise these issues, sometimes as a voice in the wilderness, but always as part of broad movements for social justice. And it makes the situation extremely serious now because those five Pacifica-owned stations, and indeed the Pacifica Network, is very much in jeopardy.
Dennis Bernstein, I think that perhaps people would have this image of the left, they're off doing whatever they do, the way cows do whatever they do in the cow pasture, and everything is just kind of copacetic, and they're all just kind of on their own out there, and we either pay attention or we don't, but they're just kind of grazing out there with whatever their little ideology is, and everything's probably pretty calm. Is that your recent experience, that everything's been pretty calm?
No, actually, Pacifica is now setting a new standard for censorship, and they're doing it at a free speech radio station. This is a station and a foundation founded by Quakers who speak truth to power. Now, apparently, Pacifica is using power to crush truth. Essentially, I am shocked. It's sort of like the Twilight Zone and somebody flipped a switch. I was yanked off the air and met at the doorway of my studio for playing a 15-minute clip of a public press conference that happened to be about Pacifica with four significant news hooks, including the fact that an email had been obtained by the media group here in the Bay Area, Media Alliance, that in fact they had, the email was talking about the potential sale of KPFA or WBAI, and it was also an extraordinary a little piece of work because it talked about exactly what happened to me and the rest of the staff. Let me quote this so we're very clear. It's from Michael Palmer. He is from he is a real estate entrepreneur in Houston and a board member to our board chair, Dr. Mary Frances Berry. And he writes, I was under the impression that there was support in the proper quarters and a definite majority for shutting down that unit, being KPFA, and reprogramming immediately. Has that changed? Well, the fact is, I believe we were set up. There's no question that this was a hostile takeover, an attempt at a hostile takeover of a community radio network, and I'm not using that in any way in terms of, this is not hyperbole. This is a situation where Pacifica, founded by pacifists, has hired a special police force called IPSA International that specializes in hostile terminations, downsizing, and meeting the needs of the new corporate executive, the needs that law enforcement cannot meet. They have seized the station, they've taken the staff's code, and they've thrown us out on our ear. They used as an excuse me playing this 15-minute press conference where you hear other mainstream journalists asking questions.
So in other words, on this, of all the free speech stations, you couldn't even play what was being played on the main media.
Exactly. That was the problem.
All right. Well, let me move on then.
Sure.
To Peter Frank. Peter, we're capsulating this for people out there. People out there should understand that this has taken years to develop. And when you get to the point of having someone dragged out of a studio in handcuffs, and there have now been over 100 arrests, as I understand it, we'll get more of the latest information as we go along. A lot must have happened to move from a pacifist free speech radio network to a place where there are security guards dragging people out. Peter, what is the derivation of this? What happened?
Well, I think the easiest way to understand what happened is to back up just a little bit. There's been a pressure for some years from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting on all of community radio to, quote, clean up its act. The ex-husband of the executive director of Pacifica, Lynn Chadwick, because her ex-husband headed up something funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting called the Healthy Station Project, which had people running around the country telling community stations to professionalize, to slick up their act, cut their roots with activists who may have long hair or whatever, and go for a more wealthy, upscale, drive-time kind of an audience. And a lot of money has been dangled, and the Pacifica National leadership has been drawn into that orbit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's a key point.
Norman?
Yes. The Pacifica Board is accountable to no one but itself, quite literally, in its structure, in its bylaws, as well as its spirit. And we need to understand that at this point, there has been what we could understand to be a coup from the top. What we're talking about is not just one station. There are five Pacifica-owned stations and dozens of others that receive programs from Pacifica. And in fact, in the last 2 weeks, the Democracy Now! Program that emanates from the Pacifica network has been censored off of other of the Pacifica-owned stations. And I have a new development to report, which is that approximately 90 minutes ago, the Pacifica-owned station WPFW censored a report on the Pacifica Network News. So you have an extraordinary situation today when WPFW Radio in Washington, D.C. actually spiked a news report, cut it out of the news report, about 10 minutes of the Pacifica Network News. Why? Because the Pacifica Network News tonight, in a report put together by journalist Laura Flanders, reported on exactly this controversy that's been on the front pages and airwaves across the country. Another development people should understand is that this afternoon in the Berkeley Hills, with a V formation of several vehicles, the local utility district police department drove in a V formation through a line of picketers to install, and I understand successfully install, an ISDN line at the transmitter. The significance of that is that from this point forward, Pacifica, and there was an arrest there in the process, Pacifica now has the capability it has always sought to program, literally to program, off of the KPFA transmitter in Berkeley for Northern California from an emanating studio several hundred miles away in the Los Angeles area. And I can't think of a better symbol and metaphor for the contempt that the Pacifica Governing Board has for any concept of community radio.
And I would say, nobody, I would add that I think what's going on is illegal. Pacifica was set up by pacifists, by people concerned with social justice and making sure that there was a voice for dissent. Pacifica has been funded over these 50 years by people who send in their money for those kind of purposes. It's now being taken away by a group of individuals who claim the legitimacy to control it for a very different purpose. It's being hijacked, and as a matter of really even of nonprofit law, I think they've violated their charter and their trust.
Dennis, who's being lost? Who's out on the streets now? You were one of the journalists on KPFA in Berkeley. Who's out on the streets? Who are these people?
Well, Pacifica fired not only, let's just say put on administrative leave, not only the staff, but the entire community. They fired their own supporters. So you've got hundreds of people, thousands now, who have been disenfranchised, who are fighting back. Now, this truly is a battle for the future of community radio,
yeah.
For a radio station that took on McCarthy, that was at the center of the free speech movement, that covered the Iran-Contra from gavel to gavel, the first station that sent a reporter to North Vietnam. We were the first station to broadcast Allen Ginsberg's poem, famous poem, Howl, that ended up in a major lawsuit. So this
The first station, I believe, that had a gay rights activist on 40 years ago, and first station which had somebody smoking marijuana on the air in a drug legalization thing long before anybody talked about that. These are other highlights, as I
Absolutely.
Recall.
Exactly. And if I could just make a point which really illustrates the attitude of Pacifica. There was a recent press conference. It was held the day before I was they attempted to drag me out like some drunk at a bar and throw me into the street after risking my life so many times to report hard stories. There was a press conference the day before that in which Dr. Mary Frances Berry came into town.
She is the chairman of the Pacifica board, but still
right.
People.
And she held, it wasn't a press conference, she held a invitation-only press briefing to talk about that which she was trying to gag us on. She tried to keep reporters out. Alain Fabre, the communications director
who did not return my calls for this broadcast.
Alain Fabre was attempting to keep other journalists who had found out about it outside the door. I began to try and interview those journalists. I was already inside. I began to interview those journalists through the door. She goes to grab for my tape recorder. She goes to put her hand over the television camera of another cameraman who is there watching. She thinks she can just control the news. To her credit, Dr. Mary Frances Berry arrived, allowed all the press who weren't invited in, and in fact, she observed my journalistic credential by calling on me to ask a question. But the kicker here is, so here she is, having a public press conference, talking about all the things that we're supposed to be gagged about, and this is the kind of stuff that we've been treated to. We've been demonized about. We've been called mutineers. Well, they're on the mutiny. Pacifica National, this group has called their own mutiny, and they've excluded those of us who have built this station over the last 50 years.
They've basically changed the rules in midstream,
indeed,
is what you're saying. And what they've done in specific is they have, among the many things they've done, the gag rule has said you're not allowed to discuss Pacifica issues on a Pacifica station. And that is an infringement in my own humble opinion. That's clearly an infringement of your free speech. If I'm going to take some calls, but I'd like to make one point, which I am sure all three of you will agree with, which is, even though we are snowed under with media today, as Norman said, I think it was, they're not saying the same things that are said on Pacifica. So the loss of Pacifica means that out of this huge cacophony of media voices, this little, not so little, the best maybe voice we have potentially, this is what we're in danger of losing.
That's right. So let me make a comment about the gag rule.
Okay.
A federal district court in the state of Washington ruled only 4 years ago that in a similar station, such a gag rule was absolutely unconstitutional. And we may have to just challenge that. But the gag rule is the heart of this controversy, as well as the firing of the very popular manager, Nicole Sawaya.
Well, and the gag rule, as I understand it, goes even further because they're telling people what kinds of things to report on besides Pacifica as well, like be friendlier to Clinton and stuff like that. like that.
Not only that, in the Los Angeles station, the manager says that station staff who discuss the Pacifica controversy, not on the air, but anyplace else, can you believe this, of the manager of a free speech station, will be disciplined. Let me just make up one more quick comment.
Okay, and then we're going to take some calls.
In terms of one of the places where I think Pacifica went off the track, something that the founders would never have dreamt of, is putting a federal official at its head. Let's remember that Mary Frances Berry is a Washington insider and the head of a federal agency. This is alternative radio. It should never be headed by a U.S. government or any other government
and
official.
They're taking government funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, so they've got federal influence in two directions.
Well, not only that, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is headed by a man who made his whole career in the United States Information Agency, Radio Marti and so on, whose 30-year career was devoted to U.S. propaganda overseas, and now he's running CPB, which means he's trying to make all the public radio U.S. propaganda.
He headed up Radio Marti, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. Let's take some calls. John from Inglewood, California. You're on the air.
Hi. This is John Summers calling from Inglewood.
Yes, John.
Thank you very much. I hope you'll indulge me for a moment.
Because we don't have much time, so go be quick.
I know, but once I hang up the phone, I'm not going to be able to hear the rest of the show.
Okay, go. What's your point?
Okay, first of all, I want to thank Norman Solomon very much for being one of the very first nationally recognized journalists to be on this story and to be talking about it. It's very much appreciated. If possible, I'd like to know if it's possible, it will be possible to get a tape of this show.
Yes, we'll give out an address at the end of the broadcast, and people will give that address out on the Internet as well, I'm sure.
While we're talking about resources here, listeners around the country, wherever you're listening, it's important to know you can do something about this. For one thing, you can go to a website, www.savepacifica.net. And you're listening to some kind of community radio station, call them up and ask them to demand that Pacifica roll back all of these firings, these disciplinary measures, and these repressive and in many ways totalitarian measures exerted on journalists at Pacifica-owned stations as well as Pacifica Network News.
And that they revise their bylaws so that they're accountable to the community.
Right.
Okay, one more thing I'd like to say, please.
Go right ahead.
Okay, this Saturday, July 24th, here in Los Angeles, we are having a teach-in on Pacifica, at which both Dennis and Peter will be there. I'm looking forward to seeing you Saturday morning, guys.
While you're on the line, John, let me give you the address for a tape. I'm going to announce this at the end, but anybody who wants a tape of this show can be ordered from the Nobody Show. Send $10, no shipping and handling, just send $10 to the Nobody Show, P, M as in Mary, B as in boy, number 92, 322 Pine Tree Road, Ithaca, New York, 14850. Okay?
The zip again?
14850. I'll give it out again later, and we'll give out more websites later. John, I want to thank you very much for the call.
Sure, thank you.
Good talking to you. All right. We have on the line Ted from Casadero. I hope I got that right, California. Ted, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Hey there. A wonderful show.
Thank you.
I do have a lot to say. I'm sure everyone does. But, one of the frustrations that I've had out here is you can't get information now that KPFA is gone. I know how desperate people were for it when I was driving through San Francisco and I had a sign on my vehicle and everyone was giving me the thumbs up and more power to you. And thank God these local radio stations, KZYX and KRCB Public Radio, are covering all these.
There's been a tremendous response from the community radio community on very short notice. We're on 13 or 14 stations now, and others are taping
United
later broadcast.
And
if I could just add, this is Dennis. I mean,
please.
I can't go and get a cup of coffee. I stop at a red light and roll down my window, and somebody rolls down their window and says, "Hey, are we going to win the battle?" I'm getting calls from Hawaii, from South Korea. Activists, people are watching this story from around the world because they care about alternative radio and community radio.
Well, KPFA plays music, and KPFA has political commentary. And now, what if musicians
KPFA used to do that
Pacifica and said, "You're not allowed to play our music"?
Well, that's
not
really
allowed to to use our voice.
I mean, people must organize, and we've got to organize and raise our voices every way we can, but we've got to understand Pacifica Foundation has seized that transmitter, and we need to challenge them through political coalition building to get it back.
Well, that's a good question, what we're going to do. I'm going to move on, though, and thank you for the call, Ted.
You're very welcome.
Lauren?
Let me speak quickly to that point, because my day job is as a copyright lawyer. If everybody who's playing tape, if anybody whose tape is being played by KPFA now sends them a letter revoking permission to use it, then every playing of their thing is a copyright violation subject to fines, penalties up to $250,000.
Lauren from Long Island, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Hi. I wanted to address the Orwellian doublespeak that Pacific is putting out and claiming that all these actions were done on the basis of wanting more diversity. I know that I read on one of the websites about KPFA that about five or six, and I wish I remember the names, station programs that catered specifically toward various ethnicities were canceled one by one by this very same person who says she wants diversity.
Yeah,
and you have to believe that when you see that happen, that this person has, since she's obviously cloaking her real intentions, that she has some intentions that she feels would be too distasteful for most people of, I guess, of any race. Because,
Lauren, this is what this looks like. Imagine this. They're talking about diversity, so what do? They fire a Lebanese-American manager who's hired an African-American program director who quits because of the toxic atmosphere. And what do? They bring in a group of white armed security guards. They bring in a white manager from Houston who's already homogenized the Houston station with a plan, a strategic plan from Washington, D.C. to impose diversity on the Bay Area.
Yeah,
this doesn't sound right.
Do you recall the names of the five or six programs that were ethnically oriented that were canceled? Because I think that it would be interesting to most listeners to hear those.
Well, what I can give you is a letter citation, an open letter to Dr. Mary Frances Berry, signed by 13 African American programmers at KPFA, dated May 21st, 1999.
And I have to also,
Lauren, I gotta move on, so I'm gonna have to thank you for the call and let them answer it. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, the salient part of
what Mary Frances Berry is putting out is rhetoric that covers actions that go in the opposite direction.
Well, the salient quote in the letter is KPFA's African American programmers will not be complicit in any Pacifica-driven purge of KPFA staffers under the guise of quote diversity unquote. That from the letter signed by more than a dozen programmers, and people who want to see the full text can go to that website, www.safepacifica.net.
Okay,
and
gentlemen.
In support of that, there was a letter from the Asian and Pacific Island producers supporting the people of color there with a similar letter to Mary Frances Berry saying the same thing.
Gentlemen, we're almost out of time for this segment. It's frustrating because every one of you would be a good guest for six times this amount of time, but let me go one around each of you. What should people be doing now? What are the next steps that you think should be taken? Peter, I'll start with you.
Well, people should be sending telegrams. People should be calling for a congressional investigation of what seems like a federal takeover of a community resource. Fundamentally, what people need to understand and press for is that there's been a structural weakness in Pacifica, that is, it hasn't had an elected board and so on, and that this force from Washington, represented by Mary Frances Berry, is taking advantage of that. People need to get together and figure out a democratic structure for Pacifica that would hold it accountable to the communities it's supposed to serve.
Okay, and Norman, a final comment. What should people do? What's the next step?
Yes, and as part of that process, we need to demand that the leadership, and I use that term very advisedly, the leadership of the Pacifica Governing Board must resign. The executive director of the Pacifica Foundation must resign. They have totally discredited themselves. They have lost all credibility. They are doing enormous damage to Pacifica Network, including the five Pacifica-owned stations. And we have to organize to force those kind of resignations, because otherwise the network will be murdered.
Okay, and Dennis, your last comment, please.
Well, I just want to tell people that there's being planned now a mass mobilization for July 31st, and we're hoping that the affiliates of Pacifica, community broadcasters in this Bay Area and around the country, will organize their own affinity groups and join us to save community radio.
All right, I want to thank all three of you, Dennis Bernstein, Peter Frank, and Norman Solomon, for being my guests. I'm sorry I don't have longer with you, but thank you very, very much for participating in this special broadcast.
Thank you,
everybody.
All right, let me give you out, if you've got your papers and pencils out, I'm going to give you out some quick numbers here. There is a KPFA hotline put out by the First Amendment Center. If you're in the Bay Area, that number is 510-287-9406, 510-287-9406, or 212 for the SOS hotline. That's Save Our Station. That's in New York City for WBAI, 212-465-7562. Let me also mention to you that the National Radio Project, in conjunction with the Institute for Public Accuracy, is going to be doing another radio broadcast. It'll be the one after this. It's going to be fed to stations July 26th. So listen to the next edition of Making Contact, an excellent show, which is what the name of the show will be, a special edition on Pacifica. Stations that don't have it, or if you want information about that broadcast, call 800-529-5736, 800-529-5736. In the studio, in the control room, can we go to our rolling bumper, and I'll give my commentary after 30 seconds. We're going to give stations 30 seconds to identify themselves and do whatever business they need to do.
From the men of property, the orders came. They sent the hired men and troopers to wipe out the diggers' claim. Tear down their cottages, destroy their corn. They were dispersed, but still the vision lingers on.
Okay, I'm back. I'm going to take just a minute or two to make a brief commentary of my own. Look, the issue here, I don't want to take the issue, the focus away from Pacifica, but I do want to point out that this is not just about Pacifica. The issue here is not just about reclaiming some radio stations, like we're having a naval warfare with the enemy and we're trying to save our ships. Much bigger issue is at stake here, and that's reclaiming the soul of America. And that's why these stations are valuable. And one thing that has to be understood, in my humble opinion, is that part of their threat to these stations comes out of the left itself. And we on the left have to do a little introspection about where we ourselves sometimes go wrong. The truth of the matter is that Pacifica is not the only left-wing abuser of labor. When Covert Action Quarterly, perhaps the finest investigative magazine, or certainly one of them on the left, changed editorial staff, shall we say, the editors came and we found a lockout, the kind of thing that if General Motors did it, we on the left would decry. Part of the thinking, perhaps, that goes into creating a situation like this is that we tend to think of ourselves as just the good guys, or the ends justify the means. And I want to say that that is a kind of dangerous thinking for the left. Another left-wing organization, left-of-center organization, which I think really failed the community in this case, is Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. I live in the country. I think I know what a watchdog is supposed to do. And no matter how much you love that mangy mutt, if that dog doesn't bark until the burglar is already in your house terrorizing you, that isn't a very good watchdog. Why FAIR was so late to be on the ball, why they had sort of a private diplomacy perhaps with Pacifica, is really up to FAIR to define. But I want to say that whatever happened at FAIR, and I think the attitude of all of the people in this coalition, is to put past things behind and recriminations. But we ought to look, was it a question of friendship? Was it a question of self-interest? We on the left are not immune to these things. And perhaps one of the biggest confusions, in my opinion, on the left is, are we people who are dedicated to principle or to power? You'll notice, for instance, that the Ms. Foundation, named Madeleine Albright, one of its role models for young women. Well, there are those of us on the left who think that being a front for a global movement to oppress hundreds of millions of people and keep them in poverty the way Madeleine Albright is, not to mention justifying the embargo of Iraq that's killed a million people and so forth, maybe that's not really a role model for women, even though she's attained a powerful position. So I want to say that out of this, if nothing else comes, without laying blame on any particular organization, because all of us make mistakes, including this broadcaster, I really hope that this will be a time when we on the left can really ask ourselves some soul-searching questions, which are we about principle or are we about power? And in my own personal belief, it is only when morality is at the very heart of our struggle, as it traditionally has been on the left, only then will we really have the ability to bring our issues with full force to the American people, who I think very badly need to hear from us. All right, that's my two cents. On the line, I have Doug Knoll, who is the president of Fresno Free College Foundation. The Fresno Free College Foundation. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading from the wrong page. I have Larry Bensky, who is a fired KPFA programmer. I have Errol Maitland, who is the WBAI shop steward. And I have Dr. David Adelson, who is the Listener Advisory Board Chairman of station KPFK, the Pacifica station in Los Angeles. Gentlemen, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for having us on.
Well, I want to thank all of you. Let me start with you, Errol. What is the climate right now at WBAI in New York?
Well, right now I am on the road. I am in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Eden Prairie to be exact, working on a national boycott around Best Buy for the murder of my son. So I have been away from the station since last Friday. When I left the station, I left a group of listeners, about 200 in all, who came to the station to show their support for WBAI staff and workers, and to deplore the conditions that Pacifica has imposed on the station in Berkeley, California.
So you're saying that in New York City they're not happy with the situation, basically?
Absolutely not. We are not happy with the situation. The employees deplore the level of censorship in Pacifica, and we absolutely deplore the firing of Larry Bensky. We deplore the arrest and what we believe is the suspension. They call it the suspension of Dave.
Errol, let me ask you this. This is a very important issue which you can directly talk about. There are rumors floating around, and people are saying the flagship program right now on the entire Pacifica network is probably Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman's show, on which you were one of the engineers. And the rumor is certainly flying around that Amy Goodman is being told she has to clear guests. We know the show was censored on one of its feeds when she talked about these issues. Is Amy Goodman under pressure as to the content of her broadcasts from management?
Amy Goodman, like any, I think, program that is produced, is always scrutinized by management. There were some talk in New York of bringing in some people from other stations to supervise Democracy Now! As you know, Pacifica, for about a year now, has lost the executive director of that program, and they have not replaced anyone in that position. They talked briefly about bringing in other people to oversee. In speaking with Amy briefly today, my understanding is that plan is off. Pacifica has censored the program, and who exactly in Pacifica has censored the program, I don't know. I've heard at one time that they had brought in some people to stand over the operator of the KU.
That's the satellite connection,
With instructions to pull the plug.
So there's clearly a climate for Democracy Now! Where maybe it's not clear exactly what's happening, but you clearly feel there has been some scrutiny and perhaps some threat.
Well, I feel that we fall within the purview of the gag rules, and if what they don't like, if you report, I think, too much in what's happening in Pacifica, that they would pull the plug. So far, they have not told us what we can and cannot report on Democracy Now!
Is it true that they've told you to be going easier on Clinton?
The talk about Clinton is a general thing about criticizing politicians. When it was the Republicans who were in office, we were basically instructed, or the word came down, that we shouldn't continually criticize them.
Well, I want you to know, Errol,
the problem with the around the issue of the Democrats in office, we have heard, and I have heard it, people call what we do agitprop journalism. They have called the continued criticism of the Democratic Party into question. And, however, that has not in any way, shape, or form influenced the kind of programming
well,
that we do.
Well, good for you if you're standing up for it. Standing up to it. I can say on this broadcast I'm free to say anything I want. And I can criticize the Democrats for my entire 2 hours or the Republicans. And I think that's what free speech is about. And I, frankly, am glad to be in that climate and not be getting little directives from people maybe to go easier. Dr. David Adelson, what is the story down in Los Angeles? Los Angeles seems to be a stronghold of loyalty to management. Is that a mistaken impression?
To be honest, I don't feel very comfortable commenting on that kind of thing. One of the things that happened some time ago was a change in the rules about local advisory boards such that anybody at the station more than 5 hours a month could not serve as a voting member on a local advisory board. And my understanding is I was brought on to discuss matters about legal issues concerning governance changes and things like that. As to the atmosphere at the station, I really don't feel qualified to go into detail on that.
All right, but you are a person who is in the L.A. area and on the listener advisory board down there.
Well, what I can say is that I woke up last week to hearing at 6 a.m. to hearing a piece about Democracy Now! On the radio, and when I tuned back in at 9 o'clock, it was not on the air. There's been a spotty record. Some things have been taken off the air and not allowed on. There was there have been segments of the Pacifica Network News, for example, but today I heard on KPFK a segment of the Pacifica Network News dealing with issues at Pacifica. So it's an irregular sort of thing. There are certainly some programmers here, such as Mark Cooper, who have expressed strong support for some of the changes, and there are other programmers, I think, who have expressed less strong support for it.
Do you want to tell us quickly what it is that about the consolidation of power and how that was achieved that is, from your viewpoint, important for people to understand?
Yeah, I would love to do that. For me, this goes back far beyond anything that happened in the last 3 months. When I first came on the board in the local advisory board in 1996 and found the strategic five-year plan on a website called Free Pacifica, which is at www.radioforall.org/Free Pacifica.
And that four is the number four.
The digit four, yes. And I found it in November of 1996 and found that it called for comment by local advisory boards as of October 1996. So that came as a surprise to me. And basically what it called for was a restructuring of Pacifica, establishing professional management systems, improving air sound, and a number of other things that were really focused on what you can call, I think, in brief, market values, making it more appealing to a broader audience. But what started to happen thereafter were a number of attempts to change internal structure, and in particular, to change governance that I saw as a reason for concern. I didn't see how that linked up. Also around the same time, actually a year before in 1995, the treasurer of the board had ruled that the books would be closed so that people in union positions would not have access to scrutiny of the books. Folios at all the stations were eliminated so that the conduit for communication with the subscribers was gone. And then in the spring of 1997, there was a move by the governing board to change its bylaws. At that point, local advisory boards from each of the five member stations elected two of their number to the governing board, and those 10 members formed a two-thirds majority of the seats on the board.
They basically elected themselves into a position of impregnable power, essentially.
No, I'm saying that at that time, the local advisory boards elected a two-thirds majority, and there was a proposal to change that structure so that local advisory boards henceforth would only elect one each, so they'd only elect one-third of the members, and the governing board would elect two-thirds. And I wrote an article that appeared in Z Magazine alerting the public about this.
But now the changeover has been made, and the governing board is self-perpetuating. Is that correct?
Correct. But the reason it's important to understand this history, and incidentally, FAIR did do a program called Counterspin on that sometime back in 1997.
Yeah, I don't want to get sidetracked there, but I'll be happy on another show sometime to discuss that history.
Great. Okay. But the important
point. Many people have not been on top of this, and many people are forgiven now because they're all united now. The larger issue is about the left and what do we stand for.
Right. So just if I could finish the story. What happened was that governance attempt was defeated, and it was in the subsequent year that the use of the CPB threat, which was solicited by a call from Pat Scott to the CEO of CPB, came up, and they changed their bylaws. This time,
you mentioned was a oversee Radio Marti as part of a USIA, U.S. Information Agency. Attempt to jam and to send erroneous broadcasts and fraudulent broadcasts into Cuba to destabilize that government.
Well, we understand the political perspective. Let's move, if I may, to Larry Bensky. Larry, you're in what is clearly the hotbed of resistance to the Pacifico management. What's the climate there?
The climate here is one of intense organization and tremendous anger. Last night, once again, the police came in the middle of the night and this time arrested 9 people, including one of the members of our local advisory board, and that brings the total of arrests to 95. They broke up Camp KPFA, which was a tent city that had been set up outside the station of supporters blocking off a street. Today, they went up under police guard, as Norman Solomon was announcing earlier, and seized our transmitter and have, under force, put in a phone line, which they can now use to bring in complete outside programming to hear, and we understand it's going to come from the Los Angeles area. People are furious. People are in motion. People are united. In about 15 minutes, a rally and march is beginning at the Ashby BART station, and I know people are listening to this program here on KLW and may be able to get over there. From 5 to 6, there's a rally at the Ashby BART station, then we're going to have a march and a prayer vigil in front of our station. I also wanted to mention, you didn't quite get the information out earlier. I know there are a lot of Los Angeles area listeners, and Dr. Adelson and I will be part of that event this coming Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Sepulveda Unitarian Universalist Society in North Hills. That's 1 p.m. this Saturday, the 24th. Let me tell you how people are in motion here so fast. An email came last week from Joan Baez to one of the fired people from our staff, Robbie Osmond, saying she was horrified and wanted to know what she could do. He called her back, and on Friday of last week, she agreed to do a concert in the Berkeley Community Theater, which seats 3,500 people. We were able to get 5 other acts, and we could have gotten 20 booked. We didn't even get leaflets out till Sunday. We never spent a dime on advertising. We, of course, didn't have our own radio station, which has been seized by Pacifica, and we were able to fill that 3,500-seat theater on 4 days' notice and sell it out and raise a huge amount of money for our bail fund and our legal fund. I have never seen a movement like this. It's on the front page for years and years, not since the Vietnam War or around here. It's on the front page of the corporate press every single day. It's on every television station every night. It usually leads the news.
Which makes it all the more remarkable that there's a gag rule, because they say you shouldn't talk about these things because it'll bore people.
Right, and the first thing they said after I was fired back in April, they told the news department, if you report on Larry, you're actually going off of journalistic practices, because this is not a news story. I mean, clearly something was in the works here for a long time. They planned this takeover. I don't know whether or not the ties to the CIA and the FBI, but I do know that when I was fired back in December the first time, it came on the eve of the first day of President Clinton's impeachment hearings, and I was to anchor those hearings, and I was fired peremptorily in a 2-sentence memo. I am famous in this network for being the kind of person who says that President Clinton is no different than anybody else, and in fact, he's a lot worse than most people. A lot of people felt that that was political censorship right there, that my voice would not be on the air, and it wasn't during the impeachment hearings. There are all kinds of back-channel things going on here concerning money and power, but what Peter Frank and others said earlier is absolutely true. Dr. Mary Frances Berry is a totally, totally unsuitable person by temperament and position.
Well, this brings me to my next question, then I'm going to take some calls, Larry, and let me ask you this. In your opinion, Is it still possible to make peace with this board and with Mary Frances Berry and Lynn Chadwick, or do they have to be, in your opinion, should they resign, must they be dumped? Is it total war, and is your opinion the same as what you think is most of the people in the movement in the Bay Area?
I think most of the people in the movement want these people out immediately. I think moderates within the movement say, let's see what mediation will bring. I think they've revealed themselves as temperamentally and politically unsuitable to be anywhere near a community radio institution like this. They've suppressed freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of petition for redress of grievances. You know, freedoms, 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 suppressed right and left. And this is from the chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission.
Yeah,
it's a disgrace, and it really, really has to be reversed as quickly as possible. And I think it will be. I've been optimistic since day
Good.
One that we're going to win this.
Good. Those numbers to call in, well, the number to call in is 800-213-WEOS. Miles from Berkeley, you're on. Welcome.
Yeah, nobody who's really somebody. Although I'm a little curious why you got to be anonymous. Is this the Soviet Union or what?
Nobody is the name I've been on the air for 7 years now. And why I'm nobody is a whole other story,
okay.
And I don't want to waste people's time with
it. You know, and I want to get right to the heart of what you think this is about, which is morality or power. And my answer, very clearly, is the left, if that's what we are, is about morality, while the board who's done this is about power. And because they're about power and not about morality, they can really F us around.
Okay.
And I think, you know, this is death throes. I don't know what Larry, as great a person as he is, thinks the left can do to power. And to my view, at the end of a note that I posted on the chained up doors at KPFA about the distastefulness of what they got on the air, I wrote that KPFA and Pacifica are dead. Long live. In fact, they must die so that something genuine can be born and arise.
Well, I think
I am going to disagree.
Harold, go ahead.
Part of what the caller said about that Pacifica must die so something else can arise. It's my belief and my contention that we've lost three of the stations already to pseudo-liberals, religious conservative Washington station. I know when Larry and Amy was doing the presidential impeachment program, they were playing jazz rather than carry that. When Livingston was resigning, they were playing jazz. In Texas, that station has people on the board who runs Maquiladora, who are consultants in Maquiladora. In California, in L.A., free speech radio, phrase you couldn't use in Pacifica. And Mark Shubb there, who prided himself at one time as being a liberal. I feel right now is absolutely no liberal. Yes, BAI and Berkeley were the last two stations in the network that held out and held out to the mission of Blue Hill and Pacifica to be an independent voice. And we are not going to surrender these licenses that we have to the airwaves to create something else. That's part of their plan.
Yeah, but I'd like to...
Miles, let me thank you for the call, Miles, and let them answer.
Station.
Okay, go ahead and answer, Miles. Miles is off now, but...
I'd like to say something about it, which is that, it's only dead if people let it die, and I think there's a very rapidly and exhilaratingly rising movement in the Bay Area to oppose what's being done. I think that has got to continue, but I think there also has to be now, and I think there is going on with the organizing that we're seeing in the Bay Area, an effort to say, well, what do we want in its place? I mean, right now we have a governing board, five of whose members, including the chair, have been with the organization less than 2 years. And most of these people had little or no role in building the network. And they're asserting to hundreds, if not thousands, of people who had important roles in building the network that those people have essentially no say. In order to get what we want in terms of open access, free speech, and truly alternative media with some integrity and some ethics. That means people are going to have to involve themselves in a productive effort. And that's going to be difficult, particularly given all of the bad blood and factionalism, which, from what I understand, and Larry could comment on this better than I, has really dissolved in Berkeley, and there's a new sense of unity. So I don't think it's time to say it's over. In some way, this could be the most invigorating thing that could possibly happen.
And
I feel wonderful about
it
because I've been feeling like people have not understood this issue for years, and now it's in everybody's face, and people are going to have to do something about it.
Yeah, there's nobody here in
Northern
California who believes that this station is dead or this issue is dead. We are strong, we are united, and we are growing. And I wanted to let listeners out there know that if they want to join us, all they got to do is shoot us an email, savepacifica@peacenet.org. That will lead you to our website. You'll receive all our alerts. You'll find out the names and addresses of everybody on the board you can write to, savepacifica@peacenet.org.
Okay, let me make one quick point here, too, which is when it comes to the issue of making peace, one thing that has to be stressed is that maybe this situation could be diffused if the gag rule was lifted, the lockout was lifted, the fired programmers were hired back, and everybody could see quickly that the board was serious about trying to make some kind of peace with people. But in fact, the board is still involved in aggressive actions against the democracy movement.
Well, the board has made some moves, but they always seem to be one step behind. For example, I've been advocating for a year a regular show on internal matters, and they finally, at the last board meeting, in response to all the pressure, said there'll be a one-hour monthly show, not just on KPFA, but on all the stations. That was positive, but it was too little, too late.
Well,
look at
this.
We went
into mediation yesterday, supposedly here, and the first thing that happens is they don't tell us. In fact, they deny. They lie about it. They lie about the fact that they're installing a transmission line to our transmitter, which will cut our studio completely out and allow them to broadcast God knows what from God knows where. We say to them, that's not a good faith gesture.
Certainly
not. Taking away local control of our programming, and they say, meh, 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 and they get cops today, and they drive through a picket line, and they do it. These people are not backing down yet. They haven't learned a damn thing. We've got to keep putting on the pressure.
Well, that's why we have initiated a lawsuit against them for an illegal change of government.
And that's why we're trying to do a broadcast that bypasses the gag rule, as we're doing tonight. Gentlemen, we're just about out of time for this segment, so I'm going to go one by one, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked in the first segment. If each of you would give a comment on where we go from here, what you would encourage listeners to do. Dr. Adelson, I'll start with you.
Well, I would urge listeners to remain informed. I would certainly like to see them to contribute to the lawsuit, and I understand you'll have Dan Siegel, our attorney, on in the next segment. The address to which donations can be sent to stop the governance change, which seems to be at the heart of all these efforts, is the Siegel & Yee Trust Account, 499 14th Street, Oakland, California, 94612.
Okay,
and
we're down to our last 20 seconds.
They should write Save Pacifica in the memo field and keep themselves informed and tell their circle of friends. We'll only make a difference if people involve themselves at all stations in community media.
Errol, have you got a last comment? We're out of time.
Pacifica must change. It must come into the new millennium. It must be reflective of the community that it serves. It must be a progressive voice. It cannot be a voice for the Democrats, the Republicans, or others. It must live up to its mission. We will not live with censorship. And we love and support Dennis Bernstein and all the other people who are out there struggling. And yes, let them keep arresting people. I think Mayor Frances Vera prides herself on being arrested at the South African consulate. Now it's a badge of honor to be arrested at KPFA for freedom and democracy.
Which country is supposed to stand for? Larry, we've got to move on. I've got a last comment.
My last comment is to thank you very much, Nobody. There's usually nobody to thank for anything good on this planet, and that's you today. Listeners, I know we'll keep informed. This is an outrage. It's too transparently contradictory to free speech and community control, and that's why we're going to win, but we've got to have a big united effort all across the country. So write to us, savepacifica@peacenet.org, and if you're anywhere around the Ashby BART station in the next hour, come and join us.
Thank you all three. I wish we had more time, and I thank you all very much for participating in this this broadcast. All right, on the line, I have Jeff Blankfort. Jeff Blankfort is an activist And he is active with the Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica. Jeff, are you there?
That's a small D, Democratic. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Glad
Jeff,
to be on the show.
Thank you very much for being here. We're so tight on time, but
right.
Let's just get right down to it. You've done a petition up. Can you read the petition and tell people how to sign on to this petition? We may get interrupted by a musical break, and if we do, we'll come back to you after the break. It's on automatic. So
very
just
good.
Let's let her rip.
Okay, this is a petition. It's a call for Democratic Pacifica, not a petition to the board because we don't recognize the legitimacy. This is a petition which declares what kind of Pacifica we want to see.
I tell you what, we're only 30 seconds
okay,
to
here
the
we
break.
Go.
No, we'll read it after the break. So tell us. We'll take
I'll hold.
So you don't just answer this. How do people sign on to this petition, and then we'll read it after the break?
What they're going to do, they'll be able to download it at radioforall.org/FreePacifica website to download it, and I'll have an address for them to send it to, which will be Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica, 499 Alabama Street, number 221, San Francisco, California, 94110, and I will repeat that after I finish the petition.
We'll come back after the break. Just hang on.
St. George's Hill, a ragged band they called the Diggers came to show the people's will. They defied the landlords, they defied the laws. They were the...